So the reading is from Matthew 5, verse 38 to 48, which is on page 970. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
So, nice, easy little passage. Don't you think? That's a really easy one. Yeah? We're sort of verging into summer, aren't we? So we're getting a little lighter. So I thought I'd just pick a nice light passage. I do have a warped sense of humour. It's getting worse, you know. I sort of called this talk, such as this talk is, the law of love, because actually this is where Jesus lays it all out there, doesn't he? And says, this is what love looks like. And his version is a sort of tough, guttural, unconditional, sacrificial, go the whole mile love. It is not soapy romance, is it? It's not really Love Island, is it? It's a different form of love. I don't know if any of you have actually seen Love Island. I have to say I have never. But, yes. This is what agape love is, what Jesus is describing here. Agape love. It's how Jesus loves us, how God loves us. So when we said to each other, God loves you and so do I, this is the love you're describing. Deep heart love. And we look at these teachings and they're quite well known, aren't they? The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gets up and does these, what we've put into three chapters, a bit on this and a bit on that, and each bit gets a bit harder than the last. And we think, gosh, how are we gonna do that? How are we gonna live like this? And let's just break it down and see what Jesus is actually asking of us, and then I'll show you a bit of a DVD of what love can look like elsewhere. So let's look at what Jesus is asking of us right now. So running through it very quickly, it says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Hit you on the right cheek, offer the left cheek. Someone takes your coat, give them the other one as well. If you're forced to go 1 mile, then go 2. Give to everyone who asks of you, lend to all in need. Love your enemies, not just your family and friends. And love and pray for all those who are nasty to you. It's just a small list, isn't it? It's not challenging at all, is it? And why does Jesus say this? Why does he want us to do these things around which you can pretty much hinge all of human behavior? Why? Well, because the bottom line in verse 45 is that we may be true children of God. True children of God. So, what is Jesus saying? Is he saying be a bit soft and stupid and let people walk all over you? Let them take your possessions? Give everything you have away? We find this all the way through the Gospels, don't we? This thing where Jesus is so countercultural to the way we are now. It actually makes us stop and think, how is it we should be living our lives? But is he saying don't stand up for yourself? Don't value yourself? No, of course he's not. He's saying this is the way to show God's perfect love. So verse 48, if you can pop that up, please. Keith says this wonderful phrase, be perfect. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, when we see the word perfect, we would say that means it's impossible for us to get to it. And yes, in a way it is. But what perfect means in this context is not how we perceive it. It's about being whole, being mature, being constant, being centered. In other places, we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit with self-control, which in the earlier translations was spirit-centered, if you remember, which is a lot more, I think, more descriptive than self-control, which in our context has a totally different frame of reference. So this is Jesus' law of love. This is how to live. And in it, it has all the fruits of the Spirit, doesn't it? So we've looked at several in recent weeks, but in here we have all of them. So love, out of which flows joy, peace, patience, or forbearance, as it's called lately, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and spirit-centeredness. Because if you're going to do all these things, you're going to have to be demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit in you. Now, we know we have the fruit of the Spirit in us because we know that Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. Therefore, each one of us is capable of every one of these things. That's the good news. We can all do all this stuff. Seriously. So why is Jesus teaching on this like this? Why is this so specific? Well, let's just do the theology bit very quickly. Jews and the Pharisees at that time were teaching from what they considered the laws that were given way back. In Leviticus 24, Deuteronomy 19, it says, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And they were using that as a raison d'etre to say, so you go and get revenge. Somebody does this to you, you go and do worse to them. Okay? And it didn't mean that at all. It was actually a guideline for judges that said, let the punishment fit the crime. So if the crime was a small one, I don't know if an eye is a small crime, but you exact a punishment that's similar. You see? If it was just one tooth you've knocked out, well, they can knock out one of yours. It's a punishment fitting the crime at the level of the crime. That's what that means. It's nothing to do with revenge or getting your own back at all. In fact, it's the reverse. It's the law as an expression of love and mercy. It says, don't make people pay for far worse than they actually did. And that's what the Pharisees were teaching, of course. Same with the Romans. You know that the Jews at this time were under Roman occupation, and the Romans in law had the right to make all Jewish men carry all their clobber, their coats and their armor and their whatevers. And they had the right to make Jewish men carry that for literally 1 mile. And so Jesus is saying, so if they want you to carry 1 mile, well, you offer to carry two. With a law of grace and mercy, you would want to do that, wouldn't you? So he's saying, love your neighbor. The Pharisees are saying, only love those who love and do good to you. Only love those who love and do good to you. In other words, they're assuming hate your enemies. And Jesus is saying no. Now, we know that in every other religion other than Christianity, that is the norm. Not to hate your enemies, well, some do, but the fact that you only respond to the way you are treated. And Jesus turns it on its head and says, however they treat you, you respond, you always give love. You don't wait to see what comes to you before you decide what you respond. Which we would all sign up to, wouldn't we? But it's not the way in other religions, other thoughts. So I need a volunteer now. So I have a volunteer here, and maybe we'll have this volunteer here, please. You're excused. No, I'm not messing. You know exactly what's happening because I spoke to you about it on Tuesday. Okay, so could you just slap him on the cheek, please? Right cheek. That's not a slap. Even I could do that. Come on, Hayden. Slap him on the cheek.
Not too hard, though, Brian. good to slap him.
Yeah. It's an experiment for Jesus.
Well, can I not do it to him because he's bigger than me?
No. Oh. Now, that was interesting, wasn't it? What do you think? That was interesting. A little bit of psychology there. Can I slap him because he's bigger than me? Go on, then. Go on, then. Give him a good slap.
You want me to go harder?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, you can definitely go harder than that. Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah, go.
Okay. With sound effects as well. Off stage. Yeah, did you like that?
No, not really. Well,
no.
I'll fight for a bit.
Now, you obviously know why we're doing this. But if he came up in the street and did that to you, what would be your reaction?
Oh, I would shove him.
Could you say that a bit louder? Did you hear that at the back? You said, I would shove him. I think that's a sort of expression for something a little bit... You put him in his place.
Yeah. What are you doing? I mean, I am bigger than you, and if you want to go that way, it'll hurt you more than me.
There you go. You see, this is the attitude, and it's in us, isn't it? So, is there any way? Hit him once more, a bit harder.
A bit harder.
Yes, please.
Oh, why would you do that? Don't
listen to her. So, Hayden, is there any way, my love? You're very hot. Have you just come from the gym?
Yeah, I went for a run.
Yeah. Is there any way you'd like to go like that and offer him this cheek?
No, I'd rather not.
So he
not.
Could slap this one as well?
I'd rather not.
You'd rather not?
I don't want to be... I'm scared now.
No, you don't want him to slap you. No. Well done, guys. Thank you. Thank you. You demonstrate everything in human nature going on there. The instinct, if somebody does something awful to you, which Jesus is obviously... demonstrating is if somebody hits you or somebody steals from you or somebody is very, very mean to you, the instinct is to fight back. It is not the instinct to stand there and say, oh, well, you did that and that really hurt, so why don't you do it again? I mean, we would think we were bonkers, weren't we? We would think we were masochists. But that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, don't have that in you that says, I want to hit back. So if you apply this at a larger level, wouldn't that be amazing if we could do that on a countrywide scale. And a country does something to one country and the other country doesn't immediately go, well, we're going to do this back to you. I think we've got this going on at the moment. In fact, it's always going on, but it's certainly going on at the moment. Mentioning no names, not getting political. So it is not in our human nature to do what Jesus is saying, is it? Doesn't matter whether it's a physical hit or an emotional hit, we do not want to say, that was great, do it again. And yet this is what Jesus says. So how on earth are we going to manage that? You know, it's not natural, is it? Our human nature doesn't like it. Our human nature is to defend ourselves and say, how dare you do that to me? So let's just go back over how we're going to do this. So the only hows, we've looked at the what, we've looked at the why. This is the how. There you are, 3-point sermon, marvellous. This is what they teach you in college. 3 points. What, how, and why. How on earth do we do this? Well, we can only do it because the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that he has given us, which we started this service with. We can only do it in that. So let's literally go back and look at what he's saying. So verse 39. We have to have in our hearts an attitude that chooses to love, to give, and forgive. So verse 39, Jesus says what we've just demonstrated. Do not resist an evil person, he says. That's interesting, isn't it? Because we'd automatically want to resist somebody who's evil. But turn to them the other cheek. And the next verse, if we just go through it verse by verse, please. Anyone wants to sue you, that means they could take you to court. That's a legal term. They could take you to court, say all manners of slanders against you, and rob you of your shirt, and you say, well, take my coat as well. You didn't deserve my shirt, but you can have my coat as well. So if we did a demonstration, well, we don't have enough clothes on today, but if this was winter, we could do a nice demonstration to say, okay, I'm going to give you my jacket or cardigan or whatever. Now, take the next layer, which could be embarrassing, really. But it's not in our nature, is it? Verse 41. Even if you're forced to go 1 mile, this is what it says, it's referring to the Romans. Even if you're forced, so it's not like you're choosing to go 1 mile in the first place. And you will actually say, look, I'll do 2 miles, even though you've been forced to do 1 mile. This is so counter our own human nature. I mean, it's going to say countercultural, but it's actually counter our human nature, isn't it? We will do twice as much as somebody wants us to do. We didn't want to do any in the first place. So imagine you want to stay at home, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe you're watching a nice Wimbledon final that goes on quite a long time, and you want to stay at home, and you don't want to go anywhere, but somebody needs you to go and do something. And then when you get to that place and do what that thing is, then they say, oh, well, now I need you to go and do something else. And you say, okay, fine, that's great. So it's like, whatever you think you've signed up for, be willing to double it, treble it, do much more. Whatever it costs you. This is radical stuff. Verse 42, give to the one who asks, don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So the one who asks may be somebody you like, but the one who wants to borrow from you might not be somebody you like. It might be somebody you dislike, but you're still going to give them what they need. So can you see the attitude of the heart here is completely gracious. This is the fruits of the Spirit in action. This is kindness and gentleness. Because of the faithfulness of God to us, as we looked at some weeks ago, we can be faithful to other people. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Well, Jesus comes in, as I said. But I tell you, love your enemies. And here's a really difficult one. Pray for those who persecute you. Have you ever had somebody really go for you in your world, in your life? Has somebody ever tried to slander you, malign you, stop you from getting something maybe at work, a promotion, or maybe siblings in your family, your brother or sister tells tall tales against you and you don't get what you should have had? Whatever comes to your mind when you read somebody persecuting you, God is saying, whatever they do to you, Jesus says, pray for them. What does praying for somebody mean when they're actually trying to hurt you? It means you pray that God will forgive them and that you pray for God's blessing over them. And you forgive them and you pray God's blessing over them. Because we may be children of our Father in heaven. Because this is the principle by which God works. You see, God causes the sun to rise on everybody. So everybody this morning in the world, whatever we think of them, has had the sun rise. Depending on where they are in the world, it could have been hours ago or still to come. But the sun will rise on them. The day will dawn. God will bless them. Even if they are evil people. Now, we can think of lots of ways in which we would say people are evil today, but God, they still live their lives. God still will come, and if they choose to receive that blessing, God will bless them. And we don't like that version so much, do we? Because we sort of think, well, God wants to bless the people that A, love him, and be a really good people at heart. Even though they screw up occasionally, they're really good people. But actually what Jesus is saying here is that the principle by which God works is every single person on this earth is his child. That's very sobering, I think. Because there are some people that we would really struggle with to think that they are as loved and valued as you or I. And let's not go into, you know, there are world leaders around that I would struggle with now and in history. There are people that I've encountered along the way in my life that I would think, oh, surely God can't love them. But he does. And the question is, do we choose to receive that love and live in the way that Jesus is telling us, or do we reject that and live our own way? So the love of God is constant for every single person. The difference is whether or not we choose to receive it and live out of it. You know, he basically is saying you've got to love and honor and bless every single person. that you meet. Even if they tortured you. You know, people along down the years have been put into captivity and tortured. I think, when I think of this sort of thing, I think of somebody like Nelson Mandela. In prison on Robben Island for 28 years. I've been to Robben Island. You're sort of cut off from everywhere. That's literally why they put them all there. I don't know, has anyone else been to Robben Island off Cape Town? No? Well, it's quite a stretch across the water. It's very choppy water, I can tell you, not being a sailor. It's very choppy. And you get there and you can see Cape Town, which is the most beautiful view and skyline and everything. And here you are on this sort of barren outcrop of an island. And they made them do quarrying, didn't they? He was stuck there for 28 years. I've been in the cell, which you can go into now. Very small, nothing, of course, there. And he came out of there, and after 28 years, he came out with an attitude that says, we will not seek revenge. We will forgive. And he, along with Desmond Tutu, set up the Truth and Reconciliation Committee, which meant that when he came out, the ANC did not rise up in bloodshed against their white oppressors. Everyone behaved honorably, and the people who had perpetrated the worst crimes were brought in front of a court, this Truth and Reconciliation Committee, and people publicly forgave them. I don't know if you've ever seen any of that footage, perhaps not. But people who'd had terrible things done against them, usually the black people done from the white people, which means it's quite difficult as a white person to watch it because you just feel, ah. But people publicly forgave, and that was because of the attitude of heart of Nelson Mandela. He came out with a heart that said, we will not seek revenge. He was not going to do an eye for an eye. And yet after 28 years, I mean, it ruined his home life, of course. And yet he decided he was not going to live in a way that meant he stayed in his past. He completely forgave, and he instigated everyone else to forgive as well. And so they had peace for some years afterwards. I mean, he is an example, if you like, of this passage, the supernatural grace that he had and the forgiveness that could have only come from God in him, in his heart. You know, and it's tragic to see some of the things that have happened in South Africa since with leaders who've been not quite in the same league as Nelson Mandela. That's an understatement. So Mandela lived out this, didn't he? And, you know, whether we like people or we don't like them, everyone is made in the image of God. And if we think about some of the people down the years who've committed appalling atrocities against other people, it is very sobering to know that if they accept God and receive Jesus, they are welcomed into heaven. It's very, very unsettling for some of us. I think it's just God's grace. So we are to love, verse whatever we're on to now, 47, are we? Because if you only love those who love you, what reward will you get? And he mentions the tax collectors, you know. And the next verse. If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't pagans do that? In other words, if you are only nice to people who are just like you, well, anyone can do that. But we as God's people need to greet everyone and love everyone, whether they're just like us or whether they're very different from us. And that sometimes can be a difficult order, as we see going on all over the place today in the world. You know, people are still very tribal. People want to only be nice to their own kind. And I find that distressing. But it's in all of us, this. Because this, all that Jesus is teaching, we've been here many times before. It's encapsulated in these 10, 11 verses. It's right there in a nutshell. What is it? What does it look like to live like this, to let God's love flow through us? You know, sometimes in prayer ministry, when you're praying for somebody, I know when I've done these conferences abroad with Alpha years ago, and we would go and do conferences, and you'd have all these people. I always remember one in Moscow, I may have mentioned this before. It happened a number of times, happened in Kiev as well. You don't speak the same language. So communication can only be spirit to spirit. Eye contact, obviously, facial expressions. But in prayer ministry, you pray for somebody. Pray in English or pray in tongues, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, but I mean, it's they can't necessarily understand what you are saying. And I pray for people like that, and I have absolutely loved them with all of my heart. I remember one girl, particularly in Moscow, I prayed for, and we'd never had a conversation. She had about 10 words of English. My Russian was about 3 words at that point. And so it wasn't a deep communication in language terms, but the communication from my heart to her heart as I prayed for her, I've never forgotten it, because she was overwhelmed with what God was doing. And all that I was doing was allowing what we started the service with, letting the love of God pour into my heart through the Holy Spirit and out to her. And that's all we do in prayer ministry, isn't it? That's all we do. We just say, Lord, bless this person. Love this person. Because that's all we need to do. Often we get in the way and we talk too much. Often we just need to let God flow it through us. Just flow. Flow it through. And allow God to just bless somebody with this incredible, unconditional, gracious, loving. So remember at the beginning when we started with Fruits of the Spirit back in early June, all of these facets of the fruit of the Spirit are actually the characteristics of God. Every one of them is what God is like. And that's how we are to try and aspire to be. None of us is going to get there, but we can have a really good go at trying, can't we? A really good go. Because this is what discipleship is all about. It's learning to be like Jesus and do it the way Jesus did it. And I've been a couple of places on my travels. God's been very gracious to me. So I spent time, as you know, over with Jackie Pullinger and the drug addicts, heroin addicts in Hong Kong, in the back streets of Hong Kong, not the shiny skyscraper bits, but the back streets. And I think I've showed you some of the video of her talking. She says this line, and I wrote it down because it's such a wonderful line. She says, if you say to people, this is Jackie Pullinger, if you say to people, Jesus loves you, how can they understand that if they don't know who Jesus is and no one's ever loved them? So you have to be Jesus to them. You have to be Jesus to them. So I just want to fill you with that thought of, can we be Jesus one to another in all our spheres of influence? Because every one of us has a sphere of influence. Places where you go, maybe walking down the street, that's still your sphere of influence. Because you are there and you're carrying the Holy Spirit in you. So you have the authority and power of Jesus in you. So let's just take a moment. Just take a moment to just think how this leaves you feeling. If it leaves you feeling inadequate, then we need to just confess that feeling to God. We'll do it silently rather than out loud. So nobody's put on the spot. If you think, oh gosh, I can't live like that, that's too difficult for me, then let's just pray just for a minute. And just say, Lord, I struggle with this. I want you to help me. Come and help me to live like this. So let me sum up in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that as Jesus gives these examples, as he shows us the way to love, we thank you that we have this as our role model for how to live. But Lord, so often we feel we fall short. And we come and we say, Lord, we're sorry when our love is very conditional. When our love says, I will love you if you love me. Lord, receive our repentance when we do that. And Father, come and show us what it looks like to love unconditionally. That we may love others whatever they think of us, whatever they do to us. May we always go the extra mile. As we seek to be Jesus in our spheres of influence in the world, however small or wide-reaching they are, we are to walk and be and have you as our being. Because, Jesus, you are the perfect embodiment of God's love. And so all that you showed us to do, we aspire to do too. Because, Lord, we want that when people look at us, they see Jesus. So we ask you, Lord, as we go into these next few weeks, into the summer, and on from here, Lord, that this may be a time of just checking with you where we are and saying, Jesus, come and fill me that I may fill other people with your love. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.